Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. How'd Good Morning America go?
Good. That's good.
Yeah. Not great.
No, it's all right. I mean, it's always, super pressed for time, trying to combine a million stories into one, 3-minute segment.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah, they go a little nutty sometimes. I mean that's what TV does. To me, you know what it is?
It's that same thing that segment producers do in talk shows. What are you going to talk about? And then we're going to pack 40 things in and get to one of them.
Yeah, don't give stuff a chance to breathe a little. It's what makes a smoothie bad.
Yeah.
You know what a good smoothie is? You pick out two fruits or one fruit you like and tell them to dump some frozen yogurt in there and some honey, and you're good. Mm. But where they go like, we take walnuts and wheatgrass and we take a banana and we take strawberries and then we take blueberries and we take golden raisins and eventually it just tastes like soupy ass.
Yes, yeah.
Which was my dad's name when he used to work the Catskills.
Soupy ass?
Soupy ass. No, it starts tasting like you don't know what it tastes like.
Yeah, yeah.
This, if you take a smoothie and you put too many fruits in it, you don't know what it tastes like.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
it just,
yeah.
It tastes sweet,
yeah.
But you don't know what it is.
Right.
And this is what they do on all these shows. They try to cram too much in, and then you don't even know what the topic was. And it's always because they're scared. It's like the guy who's manning the blender is saying, well, just dump more crap in there. It's got to be better.
Make it sweeter.
We'll make the world's greatest smoothie. We'll just keep dumping stuff in.
Then we'll call it the Shazam Razzmatazz as opposed to a good smoothie.
Right. Right.
But you're not just talking about news. You're talking about talk and a lot of television. Most television.
Most TV tries to ram too much stuff up the tukai in too short a period of time. And getting back to my wonderful smoothie analogy, it's their thing is hey, blueberries are great, right? Yeah. And bananas are great, right? Yeah. And strawberries are good. Let's just peaches, great. Nectarines, everything's great. Let's just keep forcing them in as fast as we can go. Yeah. But they're not great when they all get mashed together. You want to be able to get the flavor of one fruit. And then I hate when they do
and
that.
And I think network is more guilty than
what are you
going to
talk about?
Cable is much looser.
I'll tell you, one of the best times I ever had on a talk show was Dennis Miller.
Mm.
Barely talked to the segment producer. Barely. Mm. You're just going to go out there and hang out for 10 minutes and talk about whatever you talk about, and people are going to call up, and Dennis Miller's funny enough to roll with whatever you want to roll with, and who knows what he's going to ask you, and it was great.
That's a talk show.
Right. Yeah. The other stuff is trying to process too much. Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, you do these talk shows, they try to rehearse you, and then it comes. I guess it's good if you're an actor, doesn't have a whole lot to say, but if you're used to talking,
I mean, think
rehearsing
about
feels weird.
Think how many times we said, hey, we talk for a living. So we do.
Right.
Do you rehearse it? This is the way it goes. Whatever we talk about, we're not going to talk about when we get out there anyway. So just don't waste your time. Yeah, okay. So where were you born? And what? And there, here we go. And on and on and on.
Yeah.
They will not let go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
So here we go. Enough.
I'm sure it was one.
So you learned some plastic surgery tips last night?
Yes.
Did you decide to get with some liposuction? Or
going to get a little lipo.
Are you?
Implants. Going to get that cleft I've always been looking for in my chin.
That's good.
And a little lipo on the love handle.
Let's
Dr.
go.
Dr. Marcel.
You and I'll go together and do it all up.
He wants to get me back to do some, wants to do that laser so my ingrown neck hairs won't come back in. But, last time I was in there, he charged me full price, and all I got is some Romanian bitch. It was just like one of James Bond's henchmen just firing this laser at my Adam's apple for an hour. Cost $100, and all the hair grew back.
Right. Did you give him appropriate ass for that?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And Marcel's thing was like, oh, yeah, that was with the old laser that didn't work. It's like, hey, how about my money back then? We're going to want my money back. What about some gas money? Hauling my ass
Still
all the way
beach.
Out to the South Bay for 2 hours. And then, when my neck hairs did grow back, they all got ingrown because they, fell out. And then when they came back, they were subdermal,
nice.
As we say in the medical profession,
yeah,
Drew. Julia?
Yes.
Yeah, that was pretty. Me lancing big ingrown hairs in my neck.
Oh.
Go ahead, Julian. As you know, I'm on the camera, make my living with this, the cash register. You see the cash register, Drew? This is what I make my living off of.
I sit in awe of it every night.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Go ahead, Julie. I'm sorry.
Okay. I just had a question. First of all, I want to tell you guys I love you guys. You're awesome. You're the best.
Thank you.
And, okay, I've been with my boyfriend over a year now.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first 6 months, our sex life was great. We had sex all the time. And then about last June, I guess, it started becoming really painful after I have sex. And I still enjoy sex, and while we're having sex, it's great. But then, immediately afterwards, it swells up and it gets really painful.
Are you using condoms?
No.
Are you? How come? What are you using for birth control?
I'm on birth control.
And all right. And is anything changing in what you guys are doing? Are you doing it longer or differently? Or
no. It's exactly the same.
And do you still lubricate normally?
Well, we didn't. I didn't even used to have to, and then. After this started happening, I had gone into the doctor, and I was telling him, I said, oh, it's really painful after I have sex. And my doctor was like, oh, well, sex is rough. It's, normal.
And I was bend over.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and so she's like, oh, you just need to use lubrication.
Oh, no, wait. Hold on a second. True.
Let's hear that regurgitation again. Well, that was a nice sound effect.
When you say to women on this show, do you lubricate normally? They think you're talking about lubricant.
Using lubricants.
Well, yes, because your body doesn't really it doesn't produce lubricant, but it lubricates.
Are you would you say normally wet?
Yeah, I think you're going to have to downgrade to that. I do. You juicy, baby? You normally juicy?
I used to be.
All right, so that's the problem, right?
Yeah, that's the change. Okay. And before we used
Are
to
you on? Did you start the birth control pill?
Around
the time of the change?
A month or two before.
There you go. That's what did it.
Okay, but I've been off and on this, I'm on orthotricycline.
Yeah.
And I've been off and on it since high school.
Right.
But I've never had the problem before.
Have you had but you've not been with this guy before, and maybe that's just the nature of your guy's sexual relationship is sort of triggering this. You see what I'm saying? You haven't been with the same guy, and so it's a different intensity and duration, that kind of thing, and it's just changed your lubrication a little bit and enough to give you some symptoms. So, she's right. You just got to use lubricants.
But I've been doing it. It's not...
Oh, it's not working.
No, I obviously still want to have sex with him, but, afterward, it's sore and it's painful, and, just last weekend, we tried to go a second time, but I can't.
How long are you... going for it for?
I mean, this is even if we went for 15, 20 minutes.
That's still a long time.
No.
Yeah, sorry.
Hold on a second. But listen, 15 to 20 minutes, she's counting as a short period of time because she means...
3.5 minutes.
No, she means 7 to 10 minutes.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She doesn't mean 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
20 minutes of humping is...
it's a long time.
I'll tell you, go do push-ups for 1 minute. See how you feel.
Right.
At about the 45, 50-second mark.
Yeah.
I mean, not that you can't hump any longer than a minute, but what I mean is sort of assume the position and start the movement and see how long... see what 20 minutes feels like.
That is a long time to do any physical activity.
Yeah. But I mean, if you're taking the breaks and you're doing I do the thing where I take the beer and I take a swig and I go, cha, and then I slide the cold beer bottle across my forehead. You know that move?
Yeah. I've seen you do it. I mean.
They don't do that move enough anymore, do they?
No.
Swig off the beer bottle and then drag it across the forehead.
Julie, we don't
used
have
to be a move. I really guys would still do, believe, not anymore.
I know.
I still believe it's probably the strong progesterone in the pill. I really do.
Okay, so would that be something I just need to change to?
Yeah, you got to talk to the doctor about some alternatives. You may have to change a couple times before you find the one that works.
I'm going to bring back that with the beer bottle across the forehead movement. Hot day.
Gatorade sort of taking that over.
I know, but it's not. Now. They don't slide that plastic bottle. It's bright purple. Let me say this.
Uh-oh.
I saw some guy chugging on one of those Mountain Dew Reds the other day, and Pepsi's coming out with the blue. And this seems to be nectar the tar times two. I don't know what the F is going on with this society that we're drinking this Dayglo crap that's got to... I'd be scared for any of that stuff to touch my body. They're like, I wouldn't want to touch an article of my clothing. What's going on?
I don't know. It's like drinking Otter Pops.
Look, right? I've not tasted any of this stuff. I could only imagine what this tastes like. And we've had trouble with sponsors in the past, and I've got yelled at for calling, Mountain Dew Nectar of the Tards. So I like to take, I don't want to pick on them specifically, but all these companies, everyone is getting into the act with some sort of crazy Dayglo red or blue drink. It's not really a soda, and I'm not so sure how carbonated it is, but I just see these commercials where guys are chugging this stuff, and I think... what happened?
Where'd we go wrong?
Yeah, where'd we go wrong? Yeah. Listen, when I was nine, I knew Gatorade tasted like ass. And by the time I was 12, it was like, look, give me some water, give me some orange juice, or give me a Coke, you know? But I'm not drinking any of this newfangled novelty crap you're trying to pass off. What is it with 22-year-old guys chugging this stuff down in these commercials? They must have a form of... This is for retarded people?
It's for the 20-year-old autistic.
Autistic.
Yeah.
Autistic?
Yeah.
I can't imagine the people that are buying this stuff.
I drink Gatorade.
Yeah, you're an electrolyte man.
Yeah.
And actually, the taste has grown on me. It still tastes like crap, but it's got some little electrolyte thing
I finally
in it.
Found they have this frost variety, these different frost ones that actually finally taste
good. But look, you really need to suck up basically antifreeze. I mean, it's just a bunch of chemicals and compounds and a bunch of corn sweetener and stuff.
Water's fine.
Yeah, water's fine. Edgar?
Yes?
You're 19?
Yeah, I had a girlfriend for 3 years, and we started having sex almost right away, and she was a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
And now, since a month ago, she started to not want to have sex.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And I kind of... think she was cheating on me, but no, I'm not. But she was,
you know, cheating on me with the slightly Latino accent.
Yeah,
sounds like assing on me. say it again.
Cheating.
She was cheating on me.
Yeah. Because I'm a Chihuahua.
I think we can get away with that. I think. Now, what was she doing on you again?
She was cheating on me.
Can we move on, please?
All right. Anderson wants to move on.
Anderson really is the man of this show.
Yeah. He's the voice of authority.
He's the censor.
Yeah. I didn't know the Mexicans were into that stuff. I thought that whole coffee table business was for the gringos. But all right. So she's crapping on you. And now what? I don't see what the problem is. You're both into it.
No, she's not cheating on you.
She's not cheating on me. But,
no, this and it's interesting how a 19-year-old guy's mind works. Well, if she's not having sex, she must be having it somewhere.
Right.
Exactly, yeah.
No, it's that she has decided that that's something she wants to, what, retain until marriage or something?
No, she just says she doesn't feel like it.
Well, something's going on.
Hey, you ever see that Disney movie, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
No.
Oh, no.
But you can say it.
But you've heard of it, right?
No.
Never heard of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, huh?
No.
Never, huh? The car that flies?
But just ask him to say it.
All right, well, say... Well, see, it's no good then. Say Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Chitty Bang Bang.
Here we go. We're going to put a whole litany of words. Right?
All right. Come on, that's a title, Anderson. You can't bleep that. All right, Edgar. Edgar.
Yeah.
He's being discriminatory if he's actually bleeping.
Huh? All right, but you know the car Volvo?
Yeah.
And you know the car Saab?
Yeah.
All right, say those two cars.
Volvo and Saab?
All right. You can do that. Yeah. All right. I was just checking you, bud. So what were you talking about?
His girlfriend has taken away the sex now. What does she say the reason is? Does she give you any clear...
Yeah, she says she doesn't just feel like it.
No, there's a reason. No.
Maybe she resents Edgar for feeling like he forced her a little bit with the virginity thing.
And then maybe accuses her of cheating as a reason. That makes her angrier still.
Does she feel like you kind of coaxed her into giving up her virginity and maybe she didn't really want to do it that fast?
I don't think so.
There really are three possibilities, Edgar. One is she's resentful for the reasons that Adam is saying. Two is she's sort of lost interest in this relationship. Women, when they are not as into the relationship as they were, they don't feel as sexual. Or three, she has decided this is something sort of special that she wants to withhold until marriage, and she doesn't feel comfortable doing it anymore. She doesn't feel like she should have done it in the first place, and now she's holding back. Those are your three choices. So you got to ask her which one it is.
All right.
All right?
All right.
You agree with me, don't you?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I really think it's the part where when did you take a virginity? How long had you two been going out?
3 years ago.
But how long had you been going out when it happened?
About 6 months after.
Six months. Yeah. All right. Say the word cheetah before I hang up on you.
Cheater?
No, cheater was good too.
All right, that's good.
That's good.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. What's going on with this society? Kid never heard of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yeah, scary.
Your kids know Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? You just give them those Disney films?
Too sweet.
Yeah. I only know the theme Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. So.
Oh, yeah.
But all that stuff, you know, all on tapes and DVDs.
Oh, yeah.
Kids are done.
But, yeah.
Just sit there in front of that 32-inch TV and glued. Oh, my God. All right, let's talk to Tony, who's 17.
Yeah.
What's up?
I have a girlfriend. We've been going out for like 4 or 5 months now.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, every now and then when we're kissing, she'll go down on me. Not with her mouth, but like she'll just play with me through my pants and everything.
With her hand?
Yeah.
Okay. That's mm-hmm. not going down. I know that's...
Yeah.
You say go down, that implies oral sex.
Yeah, I said it wrong.
All right.
And I was wondering, how do I know if I'm emotionally ready to have sex with her?
That's what your question is?
Yeah.
Really? That seems like the kind of question a 17-year-old would call our show for. Emotionally ready to have sex with her?
Yeah.
Well, what's that have to do with her putting her hand down your pants?
Well, because, I mean, I think she's ready, but I don't.
Why don't you talk to her about it? How old is she?
She's 16.
Are you a virgin?
Yeah.
Okay.
How long have you been with this girl?
You.
Yeah.
What?
How long have you been with her?
About 4 or 5 months now.
Well, she's 16. She's still pretty young. And know this.
Is she a virgin?
Yes, that I know of.
Okay. Well, here's the thing, Tony. You don't have to worry about damaging your delicate psyche at age 17. What you do, and we don't really talk in these terms too often, Drew, but what guys do, especially guys like Tony, who are 17 and haven't been around the block too many times, and this may be their first real relationship, what they do have to worry about is getting hooked in.
That's where I was going to go with this, is that when you have sex, this is going to tighten that relationship in a way that you may not want or be ready
for. Yeah, but we always worry about the girls in that department.
Oh, no, he'll be hooked in, too.
The guys can become head cases.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is not enough is made of that.
I mean, yes. The scenario, I'll give you the scenario. You got some chick, 16. She's maybe had a boyfriend or two. Sometimes girls mature a little faster, get started a little bit earlier. And then there's a little bit of a late bloomer type with Tony.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's a virgin. The guy hooks into the girl, becomes his first relationship. They start sleeping together. And 6-8 months down the road, the girl starts seeing another guy mm-hmm. who's on the football team or his first year at junior college down the street.
The guy loses his mind.
And she's like, and for her, hey, she's been through a couple relationships. I'm not saying she's been around the block 1,000 times, but a lot of girls by the time they're 16, getting close to 17, have had a couple decent, substantial relationships. She's ready to move on. He's hooked and freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the problem with your first relationship as a guy. You have not gotten laid in 17 and a half years. You finally found one girl stupid enough to hold still and spread her legs for you, and now she's dumping you. You feel like there ain't going to be another.
Right.
Or it's going to be, you've done the math. I got another 17 and a half years.
You just idealize it. You feel like nothing can ever replace it. There's never going to be another. It's impossible. It's craziness.
All right.
And that not enough is made of the emotional damage.
For guys. Know,
for guys and girls. But guys, yeah. We don't make enough of that.
All right, so James should what?
Should
Tony, sorry.
Tony does not sound like he's ready.
If you have to ask us if you're ready, you're not ready.
That's
right. You have to ask how much that Rolls Royce is, you can't afford it.
That's right.
I know that's an adage, but eventually, don't you have to ask how much something is? I mean,
you don't have to cut them a check. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Well, they tell you then. You don't ask. You go in, I want that, and they tell you what it costs.
The reason I was asking our caller before, Tony, if he could pronounce Volvo and Saab is the guy who cuts my hair is from, what the hell is that guy from?
Venezuela?
Yeah.
Argentina?
Yeah. No. No, he's from, he's Spain.
Oh.
Spaniard.
Oh, my goodness.
And, He tells me he wants to trade in his Bobo and get a Saab. It's my favorite story. And I'm like, Bobo? Yes, Bobo. No. Volvo. That's what I say, Volvo. No Bobo. No Volvo. Goes back and forth 10 times, and then I go, all right, forget about Volvo. What about the Saab? And he's like, Saab. No, I'm like, Saab. And then I say, you can say the V when you say...
Bobo.
Bobo. You can say the B, no problem. Just put that on the end of the sub. Cannot do it. Impossible for him to do it. Impossible. I even put a pencil in the guy's mouth. I put a pencil in his mouth crossways and push it out. Yeah. He goes, Vo. Vo. It's hard to do the B when you got the number two pencil.
He did it anyway.
In your mouth. Still did it. Still did it. He's going to trade the Bobo in and get a Saab. All right. We'll take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, we'll speak to Melissa, who's 19, wants to know how to get over boyfriend. Wait a minute. How to get over jerk boyfriend. Fights a lot, but loves him. Wants to make it work out. Wait a second. Melissa?
Yeah?
How long have you been with the guy?
We've been together for about a year and a half now.
Mm-hmm. What's he do? Drive a forklift? Swing a hammer?
He works at Home Depot.
Home Depot.
With a forklift.
Yeah. Forklift and hammers.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Hold on. See, I smell it on you guys. That's what you don't know. I don't need to know anything. I smell. I know when I smell. That's hammers and forklifts. That's nothing but. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get with Melissa after this. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. True. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All righty. Back to the phones we go to speak to Melissa.
Hello.
Yeah. Boyfriend works at the Home Depot.
Yeah. And we've been going out. We've known each other for 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We've been going out for over a year. We lived together for almost a year. And I just recently moved back to my parents because it didn't work out between us.
Yeah.
And we had a house and we were planning on, a lot of things together in the future. And
what happened?
Basically he has when I went to a vacation with him and his family, they were telling me about how things run in the family. And I guess he has, I don't know. I think he has a really bad depression problem. And he sometimes talks to me, I don't like how he talks to me, rude and I'm dumb. And
so he's abusive, and then no one has to put up with that.
And everybody says it's verbally abuse. And I don't know. I don't like saying the word. So
you don't like to say verbal abuse.
Yeah, that's what he's telling me.
Well, that's what it is. I mean, you described it in a nutshell.
Well, how's his family?
His family, well, it's mostly his aunt. And just recently, I guess, his parents split up. And his mom said his dad was the same way. Because me and his family and his mom were all I'm really close to them.
Yeah. Do you have any kids with this guy?
No. No.
Good.
Not yet. Well, no, we actually just recently talked about it, I don't know.
Now, why would you want to be with an abusive person?
Well, he said that, he's going back to him saying he's going to change. But
well, guess what? No, not in, 6-8 years of therapy, maybe. But he's not going to change. And is he drinking when he gets this way, too?
No, he doesn't drink.
Yeah. Does he do anything else, smoke pot or do drugs?
He, well, smokes bud, but
every day.
Almost kind of.
All right, so that makes him more irritable and gives him more. So he's a marijuana addict. Was your dad an addict of some type?
Was my dad?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was sort of an abusive a-hole too.
Yeah, not towards me though.
All right,
no, but it gets where, you know, one of the ways you can look at that pattern is you don't notice it. You don't see it. You don't feel it the way you should. You're sort of dissociated from those feelings. This guy is an abusive addict.
Well, also, dad was abusive toward your mom.
Yeah.
And maybe he missed you, but this guy hasn't missed you. I mean, you're now the mom with the abusive dad,
but the abusive husband. But being around that abuse sort of desensitizes you to it. You're not even aware that it's abuse on some level.
Yeah, but either way, it works its magic because even if you weren't abused as a kid, you saw mom being abused, and then you became attracted to a guy who's verbally abusive.
Of course.
All right, so Melissa, you've been with this guy for some years now.
Yeah.
And you're 19.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's time to move on. Thank God you don't have a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to, but it's just like, it's kind of hard.
You really should go to Al-Anon also and you do some work so you change in such a way that you don't next time get attracted to this kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
You got to change what's going on in your head.
Yeah, man.
Dude.
Guy, dude, bro. Sahara?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
Well, I think I'd be in a pattern in relationships. I'm kind of assertive with guys. I always ask them out, mm-hmm. and they always seem to end the relationships. I don't know if there's something I'm missing.
How long before they ended?
The shortest one was maybe 2 weeks. The longest one, 2 months.
And they ended. Did they say why they're ending it?
Various reasons. You know that it's not
you're fat.
You.
True, please.
It's not you. It's me.
Yeah, that one. But no, I'm not fat. I'm kind of assertive. I've been told I'm intimidating. I'm tall and I work on cars and I'm assertive.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guys like that.
I don't want to burst your bubble, but there's been many times when someone has tried to pass that off on us and it never seems to work, which is, you know, her problem is she's
too good looking.
She speaks her mind. Yeah. She's tall. She's very striking looking.
Yeah.
And she can... She can make waffles, program the TiVo, and go ahead and drop the tranny and the Buick all simultaneously. Well, let me tell you about guys.
They're fine with that. The less guys have to do, the happier they are.
If I could find a woman who could do anything except for complain, it would be amazing to me. It would be great. I oftentimes talk to my male friends about this. So there's something you're doing that's doing it, and it's not... It's not you wrenching on cars.
Could be the guys you pick or the fact that they're not... Maybe the intimidation part is you really coerce them into going out. You kind of push them into a relationship that they maybe don't want to be in, that kind of thing. Because guys do that, too. Guys sort of work a woman until she capitulates to a relationship.
You know a lot about cars?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
I don't mind.
You did?
Yeah.
What do you got?
A 1970 Oldsmobile Cutlass.
Wow. And what'd you do to it?
Well, I've been rebuilding the systems bit by bit. Rebuilt the engine, the transmission.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can I quiz you?
Yeah. I don't have a... I'm usually working with a book, but yeah, you can quiz me.
All right. I'm going to ask some basic questions. Difference between rod bearings and main bearings?
I don't know.
See, okay. This is what I'm telling you, Drew. This is why. She's so intimidating. She knows so much. Don't know the difference between rod bearings and main bearings, baby? That's very basic.
Well,
I mean, if you're rebuilding the engine, huh? What?
They're laughing at her.
They should be laughing at you.
Oh, hey, now, how many guys do you know that have, you know, rebuilt the engine themselves?
Well...
Got it machined and then put it together.
I know a lot of guys have rebuilt the engines themselves, but... All right. We're just going to move forward here. All right. The main seal on the car, where would that be?
The rear main seal. The rear main seal?
Yes.
Would that be on the differential?
No. Mm. No, be at the end of the crank before it went into the bell housing. But that's all right. All right. Let's move forward now. Asking guys out. Intimidating guys.
Yeah, what about just sort of asking the wrong guys out? Are these guys that you have to kind of coerce into dating and coerce into a relationship?
No, usually we start out as friends and I'll ask him out, and I'll say yes, and it's kind of a casual thing.
That's already... No. That's the problem. There's a reason you're a friend in the first place. Guys, if they're interested, don't let things sort of drift into Friendville.
No. So she drag, kicking, and screaming in a Friendville.
And you know, she said, it's like, oh, it's casual. It's no big deal. I'm just asking them out. No big deal. That's right. It's no big deal to them. They're not thinking of you as a date or a girlfriend. They still want to keep you in friend land.
All right, but here's the thing, too, also. At 19, I know I sound like a broken record with this. You don't have to figure it all out. Forget about your technique. You're not... People think they've been banished to a certain existence, you know. I'll right. always be the friend that never, I'll always be the guy that doesn't, it doesn't work that way.
No.
You different experiences, you mature, you meet different people. There's no right or wrong way to do it, really. Just move forward, keep your eyes open, whatever you're interested in. I mean, she's Mrs. Goodwrench over here.
Right.
She can build a small block Chevy, no problem. Except for the rod bearings and the main bearings. But no problem. So just move forward and don't worry about it. You will find a guy. Everyone I know eventually found somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I know...
That's the amazing thing about the human being.
An amazingly diverse group of people who are into a million different things, and they all found somebody.
Yeah.
You will, too. Someone who shares your claimed interest in automobiles, perhaps. Ken?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, first of all, I just want to let you know that you guys are great.
Thanks.
The people.
Thanks.
But I'm calling because one of my ex-girlfriends, who we were sexually active about 2 to 3 months ago, she called me up last week and told me that she tested positive for chlamydia.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to, find out what the risk would be since we use condoms for me and my new girlfriend to have it. And I know I got to go in and get tested, but where would I go?
You just any doctor can do it. There's lots of good tests now available for that.
All right. I was just worried about going to my insurance because I don't want my parents to find out, you know.
Well, you go to Planned Parenthood then.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, I guess I should do that.
So you have no symptoms?
No.
Well,
what are the chlamydia symptoms for a guy?
Discharge, pain with urination, that kind of thing. Sometimes nothing, but and you're using a condom with your current girlfriend, right?
Yes.
So you could not have transmitted it to her, which is a good thing. So, yeah, you got to just go get tested. It's a simple thing to treat these days with a single dose of an antibiotic.
Okay. I've talked to a few of my friends, and they said it's cleared up, but, while you're taking the medicine, you can't have sex or be sex, do anything, correct?
Yeah, it's one dose, Ken. One dose.
You got to lay low for one day?
Not even just...
Half a day?
While you're in the doctor's office.
No sex?
In the doctor's
no
office.
No banging any nurses or candy stripers?
Right.
Interesting.
No, you'd probably wait a day or two, but you're using condom anyway. You know, I one of the things I did in New York was met with the Trojan people. So mm-hmm. I'm going to get more involved.
In New York.
Yeah, they're good people. I mean, they really wanted to try to help kids and build coalitions. The stuff I've been yelling about for years.
A picture guys wearing tunics and chest plates.
Yeah.
Big hats.
With a big fan on top.
Big fan. Big rope fan on the top. Guys greeting you with that handshake where your hands go. You do this handshake where you grab all the way to the inside.
Yes, yes.
You grab each other's forearms and shake them heartily.
You have those metal bands up to your mid-forearm.
That's right. Then they're like trying to hammer it out with Drew and his people.
And they call you brother.
We see... Well, let's say 150 grand over the course of 5 spots, which also includes 3 personal appearances and 2 satellite radio tours. And then Drew's people say, 4 spots and 1 satellite. And you hear the sword start to come out. Is that how it works?
And when you shake hands, it makes that noise.
Right? Shing,
pow.
You're my brother.
Right.
Do they talk a lot like that?
Yeah, brother, yeah.
And they give you like a big chalice full of something, like some ale or something in there.
With
some big mutton chop you're swinging around.
Stones around the outside.
Yeah.
Precious gems.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, it's just a bunch of queers in bad suits, though, right?
No.
All right. All right.
Loveline is brought to you by Trojan, America's number one condom.
Let's take ourselves a little break, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. And it's back to the phones we go. Speaking to Scott, who's 21. Scott?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I was wondering if you could tell me what time the ovulation period for a female is. Simply because my girlfriend had... her mom had ovulation cancer at ovarian cancer at the age of 16.
Age 16?
Mm-hmm.
No. No. What happened? Tell me what she had. Or
she was set up to have ovarian cancer. She was diagnosed with ovarian cancer at the age of 16. She wasn't supposed to be able to have kids, and she had two kids, and her younger son died.
Well, she didn't have ovarian cancer. She may have had an ovarian tumor or something.
Right.
That's not ovarian cancer. Very common for there to be tumors of the ovary, dermoid tumors.
I think she was diagnosed with some kind of cancer.
Nope.
Not at all.
Well, not with ovarian cancer. Not having kids and not at 16.
Well, my girlfriend has been having cramps during what she believes to be her ovulation period.
That's normal.
And she believes that it's 13 to 18
Scott,
days
after. You're 21.
Hmm?
Yeah.
You sound like a 14-year-old.
He sounds young, but maybe he's just in good shape.
Right.
Stays fit, thinks young.
Good.
Having cramps during what she believes to be her ovulation period.
Right.
Which
would be normal.
That's normal, buddy.
Okay, so it is 13 to 18 days then?
Yeah, usually.
18 days, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, listen, they're cramps. The cramping during all different times this menstrual cycle can be normal, or it can be a sign of ovarian cysts, which are nothing. I hate the fact that so much is made of ovarian cysts, or endometriosis, which can become a problem. Or just the usual, it's called dysmenorrhea. The inflammation of the various phases of the menstrual cycle can cause cramps.
Let's say the period ends on the first of the month. Most women ovulate on the 18th or the 15th?
18.
More 18.
Yeah.
Okay. And that ovulation is like a two-day period? Takes a couple of days? How's that work?
It's in terms of what your fertility period is?
Yeah.
It's usually 24 hours.
Just 24 hours.
Yeah.
Holy mother of pearl.
Yeah, sperm is what lasts for the 4 days. It hangs around waiting for that one day. See?
Mm-hmm.
So the actual intercourse that causes pregnancy can be within 4 days of the ovulation.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, before.
Before.
Yeah. So sperm just lurking around.
Yeah, waiting.
Sitting around.
Smoking cigarettes.
Standing around I guess during the winter, they got a trash can they lit on fire.
Yeah.
Comes like a scene from Rocky when he's jogging down the street. And the guys are all, hey, Rock, that's the one sperm that's making its way to the egg.
Yeah.
Yo, spermy, go, buddy. And they're all just sitting around. April?
Hello?
You're 19?
Right.
What is up?
I just wanted to know, I have it in my head that I heard it somewhere, that when you're trying to smoke pot, if you get on an antidepressant, that it makes it, like, easier.
To try to stop smoking pot?
Right.
There's really no good scientific evidence for that. It might. Depressions, when you stop smoking, are really common, and certainly that should be managed, and they can actually be quite dangerous, the depressions people get. But you're not going to stop smoking pot unless you get involved in a 12-step program of some type.
And what do you mean a 12-step program?
Marijuana Anonymous. You need to be treated. It's something that requires treatment. It's very common. You'll fight a whole bunch of people just like yourself at the meeting. And there's things you got to do in order to get over this thing. It's an illness.
You've been smoking pot, says here, since you were 14?
Yeah. Well, that was like the first time I smoked pot. I've been smoking pot regularly, like on a regular basis for the last 3 years.
Yeah. It's very hard to say.
Daily basis?
Probably like 5 out of 7 days of the week.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's not an easy one to stop.
Mm-mm.
And it requires treatment like
any
other.
Why don't you go to MA, meet some nice dude?
Well, I'm married. I don't need to meet a nice dude. But I don't think we have that here. Like, I've never heard of it around.
They're everywhere. If you have a question, call Alcoholics Anonymous. They'll refer you to an MA meeting.
You got married already, huh?
Yeah, I'm married.
Why so young?
I always said that I was going to wait till I was 25, but the guy that I married is an absolute sweetheart. He's wonderful. He doesn't smoke pot or anything.
Hmm.
It's funny, she, the way she said absolute sweetheart sounded like an ass to sweetheart or something. It's like, it's a weird, sounded like a weird title.
A weird title. He's my Prince Charming.
He is?
Yes.
He's your what?
Prince Charming. Oh. How old is he?
He's 23.
Mm-hmm. Eh, sounds like a dynamite individual.
He is.
He's well, April, we got to take care of this
trust
problem.
This guy. What's he do?
Huh?
What's he do, this guy?
What do you mean, what does he do?
For a living.
Oh, he works for the IRS.
Wow.
Accountant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if I call AA, they'll
refer you to MA. Listen, are you going to try to have kids?
In the future, not anytime soon.
You can't be a mom and be addicted to pot. You can't have somebody in your uterus while you're smoking pot, and you can't really be available in a way a child needs you to be attuned if you're loaded.
Right, and I understand all that. That's why I really want to stop now.
Okay.
All right, but it takes time. It takes some work.
But check out the MA. We're not worried about it.
Especially when you start smoking when you're 14, 15. Well, you actually start regularly when you're 16. A lot of development you would have been going through during that time when you were 16, 17, 18 actually doesn't happen. The pot tends to block some of the brain development.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah. Yeah. Robert?
Yeah.
29.
Yes, sir.
What's up?
Well, I've been listening to you guys, and I noticed that a lot of women, when they call in, you ask them where their father is or if their father left them at a young age. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, does that affect men also?
A little bit.
Yeah, a little different. Different. And women, it tends to have a pretty profound imprint on the kind of man they choose. In other words, there's unfinished business there. They've got to sort of make good. They've got to find dad and reconnect.
Right.
With men, the dad really serves a containment function and a modeling function. And so one of the common things you see with young males that didn't have a father is difficulty containing aggression.
Mm-hmm.
So they sort of act out more.
Yeah, they don't tend to listen to their mom as much. I mean, they're driving in the car and the mom is yelling, be quiet, and they don't tend to listen. But when the dad yells, be quiet, they listen. Yeah. But when there's no dad around, then they have a little difficulty. This is what's gone on in the black community. Not enough dads around, and now too many kids run around beating the crap out of each other and shooting each other. Can't contain it. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll work that way for any, doesn't matter what color your skin is, by the way. If you take dad out of the equation, and you usually have boys that sort of run around and beat on other boys.
Yeah.
Right. So, but no, in general, men's psyches are not as delicate as women. And, you know, that's good and that's bad. We sort of have the psyches of, we're sort of like old Volkswagen bugs, you know. You can
theoretically,
you can keep us running. It's no big deal.
The old theories are that we're actually worse off because we never can fully.
But we don't know what we're missing.
Well, we can't ever solve that. You know what I mean? We always want to be mom, part of mom, that kind of thing. And girls can identify with mom and therefore feel
part of mom.
Well, that's sort of what the early development's about.
Right. So men aren't searching for moms then?
Well, they do. Well, moms don't abandon. That's kind of a rare situation when moms abandon.
It depends, too, because certain cultures, like if you got... You know, I've been noticing this. I've been doing a little study myself, Robert. And all my friends that had sort of powerful moms who wore the pants in the family all got hooked up with what I would lovingly call ball-busting wives. They need excitement. I don't know what this is, but Drew and I were talking about it the other day, which it never seems like both parents are equal. Usually, your mother, your father, one of them sort of the general and the other one's the private. Or maybe one's the general and the other one's maybe the colonel.
Yeah.
Or something like that. You know, there's always seems one sort of dominating.
Yeah.
It works this way with every partnership.
A power structure. Yeah, it's always a power
Anytime,
structure.
Anytime, I don't know if it's a creative partnership, whatever the business, whatever the partnership is, one person sort of runs point.
Yes.
One person says, no, I'm driving and here's where we're going.
Yeah. You're the, Jimmy's the general and you're like the drum major.
I'm the guy playing the flute, limping. So this is what happens, and parents do this, and in the relationships I know where the mom was the general and sort of driving the relationship, which all Jewish relationships are this way, really. The kid ends up getting attracted to strong, somewhat domineering or just sort of women that have energy. You know, they get hooked up with women that are, they become the general. That's one of the trends I've noticed. But other than that, not too many.
With guys.
Guys in general, it's they're kind of washing machines, and women are sort of delicate instrumentation.
Watches.
They need to be calibrated. You can't get them wet. You can't leave them outside. I mean, they have to be looked after.
Right.
And if they get kicked around, they don't take it that well. They get their calibration gets off.
Later in life, yeah.
And they end up not perform. They can't make their decision making get screwed up. Yeah. All right. So, Robert.
Yes.
I don't know. What's your question now? Yeah, you're fine, buddy.
We got to go to break.
Have a good time, so, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Is males, just don't beat on them.
Yeah.
That's it. And once in a while, the super domineering mom can get the son to go gay, but that's the biggest impact they're ever going to have, right? True. It's a wonder you're not running your own cabaret right now. And we'll be back. Buddy, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right there, Drewski Bopples. You get the Christmas tree up at your house?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It's nice.
How about you?
Yeah. Mm. Smells good.
Have you ever had a Christmas tree in your house?
Yeah. I always get a Christmas tree.
Really? Don't just lean a bough up against the fireplace?
No.
Like the Corolla tradition?
Well, the Corollas have two traditions for Christmas trees. One is cutting a branch off the dying pine tree that's in the front of the house and leaning it up against the wall and decorating that. We did that one year. That was Charlie Brown times two.
How does your mom defend that one? Do you bring that one up ever?
Christmas trees,
oh, yeah, no doubt.
Christmas trees cost money.
I see.
I mean, listen, you're poor. You don't got... You got $20 to throw around at something that you're going to toss out in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
I mean I mean, here's the thing. My family was legitimately poor, but they thought
poor.
like they were living on the street, you know. And that kind of all the stuff that you would do for you that doesn't have to do with eating or clothing, you know, sort of non-survival stuff. The vacations, the Christmas trees, the nice set of chrome rims for your car, all that sort of extra stuff, jewelry, what have you. No way. That's into the realm of the fantasy world. that does not happen. No. We'd usually get a tree, though, but it'd be like you'd have to drive down to downtown and wait for them to unload them off the train and then get them for like a $10 cheaper, and then
you do that.
Schlep it on.
So you did get trees.
Yeah. We might not have a tree every year. I'm a little unclear on that. Probably not.
Yeah.
But the one year we did the branch. The branch is bad because the branch is really just sort of two dimensional.
Yeah.
You lean it against the wall.
Yeah.
You cut a branch down, it's flat. You know what I mean? It doesn't have much body to it.
Sort of a reminder too. It's like.
I'd say better. Yeah. We should have just pretended we were Jewish or something, but then that would have been the 8 presents of Hanukkah, and that would have been a monumental task to pull off. But yes. Here's what it is. I spent a fair amount of time at my grandparents' house, and my grandparents had a rubber tree plant that was in a planter.
You decorated that.
It was
that
in their living room. Yes. Grandparents never got a Christmas tree.
Nice.
They decorated a rubber tree plant. Nothing further than a pine tree. No, it was my grandma, too. Nothing further from a pine tree than a rubber tree plant. And, the branch, sometimes no tree. And then usually you get the Charlie Brown size tree. Because, you know, like I said, it's $18. It's not the $27 one that's, that's going to break you for the year. Yes, Drew, yes. If you ever close your eyes and picture the rubber tree plant. That's all. I don't know. You claim your family was cheap, but I don't think you know the depths of my family's cheapness. I don't think you have any idea.
No, I'm getting it.
You starting to get it now?
Yeah. Painful.
Rubber tree plants, branches from the tree. Yeah, that's sinking in.
Good time.
Yes, and the branch from the tree really is like, you might as well just write loser on the inside of a pair of sunglasses and just put them on for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because you just, that just smacks. Is that this? Yes. Rubber tree plant, branch. Oh, God. Oh, I can't believe I come from those people. Samantha?
Uh-huh.
You're 15?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, I just broke up with my boyfriend today, and we have been going out for a couple weeks, and this Friday, I cheated on him.
Mm-hmm.
And...
What does that mean, cheated?
I hooked up with one of his friends.
What do you mean hooked up? Well, that's code. Did you have sex with him?
No, I didn't.
That's what a hookup is.
Well, okay. cheating, you know, when you cheat on somebody, normally, it means that you had sex.
Right. But
with somebody.
This is a 15-year-old version.
Right. What'd you do? Just, you made out?
Oh, more than that.
Oral sex?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
You performed some oral sex on the guy?
I didn't, no.
He did on you?
Yeah.
Well, that's quiet.
Yeah. So, we broke up today.
Why didn't you perform some on him after he performed it on you?
Because I didn't want to.
You're not that kind of girl.
No.
And I said that sort of facetiously. Yeah. And now this guy was
a new trend here.
This guy's a good friend of your boyfriend's?
Well, my boyfriend thinks so, but the way that he talks about him, the guy that I cheated on him with, It doesn't seem like it, but my boyfriend seems to think that they're
friends. But to be fair, the guy's not going to talk up your boyfriend too much while he's attempting to go down on you.
Yeah, he's sort of tilling making the soil right.
Okay. Yeah, talk about, though, a little slap in the face for the boyfriend if you're the guy's buddy. I mean, it's almost worse than just having sex with the person, is it not?
Yeah.
Okay. What happened? Did your boyfriend cheat on you?
No. He's a really, really good guy.
That's the problem. She can't be with a nice guy.
Yeah.
You need a little chaos.
Yeah.
You need a bad boy.
That's exactly what I need. And he didn't know that I cheated on him. So it was such like a shock to me when he told me that he wanted to break up. And I was so hurt. But it's like...
How dare he? How dare he, that guy?
Temerity.
How dare he?
Yeah, well, why did he want to break up with you if he didn't know about
so
this?
Classic.
I mean, he's like, you know, I didn't really know you, and we weren't right for each other. And also, what was the difference from 2 days ago?
Yeah.
He woke up and discovered he was a healthy guy.
That's right.
He's
normal.
And he doesn't want to be involved in your chaos.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
There you go.
So now what?
If you want nice guys like that, don't... Oh, nice.
What's up now?
You smoke cigarettes?
Do I?
Yeah.
No.
What's the matter? So you broke up with a guy. A guy broke up with you, and you weren't really that into him anyway. So what do you care?
Well, I didn't realize I was until he broke up with me.
Yeah, see. Only because.
Sharp move by the guy, because you would have. Here's where this was heading. You'd probably screw around with another friend or two and then dump him.
Right. No, then make him walk in on you with someone.
Right.
It would have been some trauma for the guy.
But now the guy does a preemptive strike, dumps you, and your head is spinning like a dreidel. And you got to have him back.
Fembot exploding.
It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does not compute. And good. Well, it's good that he dumped you.
Yep.
That's good for him.
Okay.
And this guy's very normal.
But, Samantha, you got to work on this need for chaos and the badness.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that.
Where's your dad?
He's here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You love him?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's here.
What's wrong? Where's the chaos coming from?
I'm adopted.
Oh. How old were you when you were adopted?
I was adopted pretty much at birth.
Pretty much.
I just found out a year ago that I had a brother, a full-blood brother.
Yeah.
But he lives with my mom.
Uh-huh.
My birth mom. So
he lives with your birth mom.
Yeah, and she called me drunk and told me this.
The mom did?
Yeah.
That's so it's got to be kind of weird that she kept him and gave you away.
Yeah.
How old were you when you were adopted?
Went pretty much at birth.
Well, how old?
Like a couple days,
okay.
I guess. Okay,
a couple days. Right. Just that's at birth. And your brother, your blood brother,
uh-huh.
he's younger than you are?
He's older. He's like a year older than me.
Oh, that's weird.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Younger, I could, you know, if the guy was 5 years younger, I could see that. She had you, wasn't ready to have a kid, but had a one-year-old, kept him.
Do you really know that he's younger?
No, he's older. And I'm younger.
I mean older. I beg your pardon. Do you really know that he's older?
Yeah, I do. He is.
Okay.
Because he didn't know, she didn't tell him about me until like a month later, so I was stuck not, you know, him not knowing about me. And then in March, we met for the first time.
Do you live in the same town?
No, they live in Florida.
Shocking. And what was that like meeting him?
It was the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
And I met her, too, for the first time.
Ew.
So.
And that was weird, too, right?
Yeah, it was like a...
So maybe this is the chaos you're injecting into your life as a temporary thing in response to all this crap you're trying to deal with.
I don't know. I mean, my life is, I've always needed chaos in my life.
Have you?
Yeah.
All right.
Not a good thing. Not a good thing,
but
Samantha.
Here's the thing now, Samantha. You're 15, and you're coming to a point where chaos, before it's just a bunch of schoolyard stuff. Now it's going to be bigger things. It's going to be pregnancies and venereal diseases. It's going to be arrests and expulsion from schools, and there's going to be trouble. There are going to be serious consequences now.
One of the ways to think about this behavior is that there is parts of herself that she's sort of disconnected from, injured parts that are enraged and pain and shame, and the only way she can experience them is by being with bad people.
Right.
It really is a part of herself that she experiences when she's with these guys. When a guy leaves her, though, she's no longer doesn't have that part. It's like she's losing that part of herself.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you know what's going on, and it's time to get a handle on it.
Yeah.
Jody?
Yeah.
And as far as the guy, it's good that he dumped you.
You
screwed around with his best friend. Not you, Jody. What's up, buddy? Baby.
Oh, hi, Adam and Drew.
Hey.
Hey, Jody.
Basically, ever since my husband and I had our son, who's two, our relationship hasn't been going as well.
Why?
And now he got laid off from his job, and I'm worried that this is just going to be the last straw. And I need some advice on, one, how to help a gentleman cope with this, because I know men are very sensitive about their jobs, and two, how to maybe improve our relationship.
Yeah. What kind of job did he get laid off from?
Application architect. It's a computer position.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is he good at what he does?
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, sound like a fan.
Whoa.
And
rousing endorsement.
Yeah.
I was
going to hire him, but no.
Yeah, I'm better.
You're better. You do that too?
Yeah.
All right. Do you work on those CAD machines?
No, it's not that type of architecture. It's like building software applications for companies and making
It's a software architecture, not building architecture.
I see. And it sounds like you're both sort of professionals, though, and you could, even though you're better than he is, he could get another gig somewhere, right?
Yeah, the market's really bad right now.
Really?
They laid everybody off in Silicon Valley lately.
Wow.
Yeah, bad times.
Yeah.
Hey, Merry Christmas, though, right?
Yeah, it was real nice of them.
Yeah, so do you think he's going to get depressed about it, or he has gotten depressed about it?
He kind of just moping around the house, not doing
And what was the problem with your relationship?
Oh, we just argue all the time because I don't think he helps enough, and he thinks he does. And
What about sort of sitting down and deciding what your priorities are in life together, and what you want to work on together and do together? And I mean, it's an opportunity for maybe a new beginning here too.
Okay.
To really, really sort of map out a life together. What does our life together mean? What is it going to be?
Well, we've done that before, and we kind of agree on everything except for two fine points. How much attention the kids should get and how much money should be spent.
Spent on what?
On money.
Anything. He's a Scrooge, and I don't spend too much, but I spend a little bit.
Well, okay, yeah. Budget things. You got budgets, build, compromise. But I think more philosophically and more, you know, what you want from life, not how many kids we're going to have, who's going to stay at home. Those are just sort of functional things that you decide. what do we want? What do we want here? You don't have a job. Maybe we want to move to Wisconsin and start a life and be a farmer. I mean, whatever. What are we really looking for, and how do we get there?
Well, spend some time. And if you ask
well, then forget him, it. Then there's nothing we have to do.
Well, let me here's his answer, and this is why we fight too. Is he wants to consume media? This is his goal in life.
Consume media.
Yeah, you know, watch TV and play video games.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't stand it.
All right. Well, here's the. Hold on. Let me talk to Drew.
If that's true, he needs to see a psychiatrist because that's a flaw.
Here's the thing. Jody sounds like a mild ball buster.
Angry. Yeah.
She's a little angry at this guy.
Yeah.
And when you're angry, it's hard to just deal with whatever the task at hand is because you're PO'd.
Mm-hmm.
It's like driving with somebody who's angry and they're in the seat next to you and you go, geez, should we take Melrose or should we hop on the van? And they go, I don't know. You're the genius. Why don't you tell me?
Right.
You know, it's like,
right.
And you're going, well, geez, I just asked how we should get to the theater.
Right.
And it's impossible to get anything done.
Yeah, it really is.
And Jody's a little pissed at this guy. Maybe I'm not saying without merit, but you're angry.
Guilty as charged.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, so the thing about you're worrying about him being depressed because he lost his job, that's not really the situation. You're angry at this guy for not sort of stepping up and being a man, and he's too worried about video games and his own sensitive feelings and putting on a pair of pants and some boots and being a man. Am I right? Thank you. Okay, so you got to sort of deal with your anger toward this guy.
Yeah, but
that's not going to work out by you trying to be sympathetic toward him because he lost his job.
She's got to deal with that, but it sounds like she's angry with some aspects of him, which could be pretty frustrating to deal with.
Well, yeah, he deserves it too.
Yeah,
I'm sure
he needs some real help if he is detaching from his relationship and spending times communing with a video screen. And he's got a wife and child. That is kind of serious ass there.
Okay, so he's got work to do, but Jody can't pretend like he doesn't and can't pretend like she's not angry that he hasn't.
Right. She shouldn't pretend like she's not angry. She's angry. She's go ahead and get angry. And we may work on that, too.
And believe me, the people who you're angry at would much rather have you tell them they're angry. You're angry at them than just walk around PO'd for 5 years.
And then, and also, men are pretty clueless. They're kind of confused. Unless you tell us exactly what's going on, we don't necessarily pick up the hints.
Well, let me tell you how it works for men. If a woman is angry who you're living with, let me tell you how that translates. She's a bitch. I don't know what her problem is.
That's what guys do.
Yeah. She's always PO'd. I don't know.
Must be her period.
Blowing up on me, blowing up, getting all my grill about nothing. I don't even know what it is. I'll tell you what, I'm no hurry to go home.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
And then when they do go home, they hide out. Video games.
Yeah, well, for me, it's porn. But yeah.
Whatever.
Cindy.
That's great.
Yes.
You're 29.
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I have a couple questions here. We're having a problem with my brother-in-law.
Yeah.
The problem is that he has a girlfriend who has a chronic pain condition, which means that she has access to all kinds of painkillers. I know that she has Dilaudid, she has a bottle of Demerol, she has fentanyl lollipops, and
fentanyl? It's a synthetic opiate.
It's a morphine derivative.
Why are they called lollipops?
They make them for kids, I think, for like kids with cancer and stuff.
What is the source of her pain?
Well, she has lupus.
She has lupus.
Yeah.
And what are the manifestations of the lupus?
Well, I don't know what her particular manifestations are. I just know that she is a frequent flyer visitor to the ERs on a weekly basis.
Yeah, but I'm wondering, I have to question the accuracy of the diagnosis, right?
Yeah, me too.
And because a lot of people get fibromyalgia and lupus type diagnoses.
Exactly.
And get on opiates, then magically have chronic pain and then go nuts with the opiates. If she comes from a family history of alcoholism, if she has a history of trauma in her background, then I would virtually guarantee that this is primarily addiction.
I completely agree with you. My problem, though, is not so much with her, but with my husband's younger brother who lives with her.
Right.
Yeah. And he has been, you know, he's now lost his job and just stays home all the time.
Oh, boy.
And we figured he was probably having, you know, definitely has access to her medications. So what happened was we went and my husband actually kidnapped his brother.
Yeah.
And just showed up and said, you're going to come and spend a couple days with us.
Right.
And he's gone through all of his medications, and he's taken all of his meds, except he has Zyprexa. He let him keep that. But he's got all the Ambien, all the Klonopin.
What do you mean he's got all of
it? Well, we have a rule of thumb in our unit is if a wife is sick enough to need inpatient chemical dependency treatment, which this woman sounds like she definitely qualifies, then the husband has to be addicted too. And we have found that to be almost universally true.
Okay.
So it suggests that he's also an addict.
Right.
Because only another addict would put up with this.
Yeah, I didn't get the part about kidnapping and taking all the guy's meds with him.
Well, my husband took his brother.
Yeah.
Out of the household.
What's the part with all the meds?
Is that if the wife has the problem, why does he have all the meds?
Well, he has meds also.
Right.
Well,
his medications, all he had was Ambien and Klonopin. He didn't have any of the pain medications.
I know, but he kidnapped his brother and he said, let me take my stash with me, right?
No. He didn't let him. He didn't let him take anything with him.
He just found all this stuff on his side of the medicine cabinet?
Right.
Oh, okay. How does he know whose that is, though?
That Klonopin is dangerous stuff to stop abruptly, by the way. That needs to be treated.
Okay.
He can have a seizure.
That was my question.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Listen, I'm telling you, I'm just going to start a thing where we just start snuffing out bad seeds. You know, you marry into these people. It becomes a huge pain in the ass for the poor chick who wouldn't have known this guy except for she married the guy's brother, and now there's kidnapping going on. Oh, I'll tell you what. You know, I hear these stories all the time about the in-law, loser brother-in-law, and loser wife and kid having to shack up at the person's place for a couple of months while they... Oh, I would put a hit on these people immediately. And look
at how good your sister is to have allowed you to avoid all that. You know what I'm saying?
By me buying a second house?
By her having a good husband and a good kid.
Yeah.
Good life for them.
Yeah. She's in the second house for 6 months, you know.
I know.
Okay.
Forgot.
All right. Come on, Drew. Don't kid around. No, you know, my sister and her family are fine.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, I mean that.
Yeah.
No good times.
Uh-huh.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. There's no one from my family you could get anything from. I mean, if I need $100, I'd be S out of luck for every single person in my family across the board. There's no doubt about that. You would never get anything. Anything. But if you got all your own stuff, they'll let you keep it. So that's fine. I got a lot of stuff.
It's a good time.
Doing good. All right, let's got to go to break here. I'm going to talk real fast to Clarence. Clarence? All right. Sounds like we had a little problem with the phone line.
Clarence?
All right. Hang on there, Clarence. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. It's a good doctor, Dr. Drew, over there. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. All right, let's talk to Martin, who's 27. Martin?
We lost Clarence.
Yes. How you doing?
Oh, it's too bad.
Oh, boy. Hey, listen, I had a question about 3 months ago. I was in a bar and I met a woman. I didn't know who she was. And after she gave me oral sex in the car.
Nice.
Yeah, good deal. And then, well, maybe not so nice. But what happened was she kind of just licked the penis a little bit. And then I put a condom on.
Oh, good. Hey.
Yeah.
See? Oral
sex condom. She gave her a little jump start. Yeah.
So we finished off. And I've just been kind of just a nervous wreck for about 3 months. I got just a regular HIV test once, and then I just got one just a regular couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
and
you're not going to get
you're fine.
And I also got the DNA test.
You're fine.
Oh.
If you want to get checked for chlamydia and gonorrhea and other things too, and syphilis,
I did. It was all negative.
You're fine. You're fine.
Even if what if it was a worst case scenario?
Worst case scenario, and she had it, your probability, if she gave you 100 blowjobs, still be pretty low.
Okay.
It's not impossible. When is 100 blowjobs worst case scenario, by the way?
Not impossible.
So I could just go back and get 100 blowjobs.
No, no, I'm not saying that, because one of them could be the one. I mean, you don't want to take that kind of risk, but you weren't the receptive partner, which is the way in which AIDS has been shown to be transmitted.
I thought we eliminated AIDS. Martin, the worst-case scenario is a drunk driver smashing into your car while you're receiving oral and her biting your dong off.
That would be worse.
That's worse. You got nothing,
buddy. I'm not sure a condom can protect you from that.
What's up with you? Why are you so freaked out?
I'm just neurotic. I get worried.
Why? Why are you so neurotic?
I don't know. Okay. You know, I'm just one of those guys. I just get worried.
That's the real tragedy. That's the real disease here. Not the HIV. Your neuroses.
If you know you're that way, why do you have a random relationship like that? Why do you get involved with
that? Was heavy,
I have issues, and I'm trying to work them out in therapy.
Okay.
So. Bottom line is I'm safe. I'm okay.
You should be fine. You did all the right stuff. You wore a condom during oral sex.
Oh, don't go along with him.
You need to go to the doctor and get checked out.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, Martin.
Help. I've been helping the medical profession.
By giving him money. Don't dance for Martin. He's neurotic. He's on his third AIDS check from half a lick job, for Christ's sake.
A lick job.
Sure, he's been on the internet. Please.
A lick job. Okay.
Everybody, stop that kind of thinking. Sean, you're 24?
Yep.
What's up?
My wife has obsessive compulsive disorder, and I've kind of learned to deal with that. It's just part of life now.
How does it manifest?
Just certain things she does. The TV has to be on a certain channel when it gets turned off at night, or clothes have to be in a certain spot, or purse has to be in a certain spot.
Out of curiosity, does she smoke pot?
Nope, not at all. Never.
I've noticed that people that they may already be that way to begin with, but when they smoke pot, it gets a lot worse.
They get fastidious or something when they get they like to move stuff around and position the salt shaker so they're facing the right way, but it doesn't seem to take over their life. It's just they get stoned and they fiddle.
Yeah, could be.
You know what I mean? But it doesn't become like what the normal OCD people have or whatever we're talking about here, which is they do it 24/7.
It's disruptive,
yeah.
All right, so Sean, what's the question?
Well, she also has a lot of anxiety.
Sure.
And lately it's been getting like really, really bad to where she has phobias of like taking pills or if she eats something, she's always afraid that she's going to get poisoned from it.
I hate those people.
She has phobias of driving alone by herself at night.
She's going to screw that kid up in a big way. Yeah.
But the thing is, you know, I try to emotionally support her so much, but after a while it just gets so frustrating.
Cause it's like,
well,
she needs help, but
you are
just like I was trying to get Drew not to do with young Martin. I really do believe people want to be told to shut up and get on with it half the time.
That's what I do sometimes. I try to rationalize with her as much as I can. But
well, here's what you need to do. You need to help her contain her behaviors. You need to be available, and then you need to take care of yourself. You can't be there 24/7.
Well, she's got to get help if she's going to be this way, because you have to explain to her that this kind of stuff freaks a kid out.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what's the best way? Because I've seen, like, on TV and everything for infomercials for, like, these tapes.
No, it's medication.
No, you need duct tape. You need to duct tape her to the lazy boy and never let her leave.
She won't take medication?
No, that's one of her big fears is pills. I mean, for an aspirin,
Jesus.
She has a headache. I have to cut the aspirin in like four pieces.
No, that's my point. Don't do it.
Well, then get her in a therapist's office and get some talk going.
Sean, here's the deal.
Okay.
Do not aid her in this. She wants, I'd cure her in a week. And that's what I think she wants. But if I'm living with this broad and she's saying, cut that aspirin to four pieces, shut your pie hole and take the aspirin. You drive me nuts. You keep acting like a mad person. You don't get any help. I'll take the kid and I'll leave. Yeah. You're going to drive the kid nuts. And ironically, he's going to turn out like you.
Yeah.
So get it together. Get it together. That's it. Don't be cutting aspirin. Don't be quartering aspirin for her.
Yeah.
People respond amazingly well to that, and it's something that has fallen by the wayside as far as society goes.
You know what, though? A guy like that, may not have the firmness in him. You know, she knows that she can undermine him because she's been doing it and doing it and doing it. It's under his skin.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, people, it works. My old lady tries to give me a little grief once in a while.
Wait till you have kids.
Oh
yeah.
They're going to hate me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, oh,
yeah.
Sweet justice.
You know what chicks do? Kids probably do the same thing. They give you that, you know, I'm like, look, why don't you head down the hill and pick up the Thai food? Oh, why do I have to pick up the Thai food? And I always fire right back. Yeah. See the ceiling fan and the thing? Do you see that TV over there? Do you see that? How do you think that got there? That's 100 trips to the Thai food place. Now go get it.
Yeah, and when there's a kid involved, then it's like, hey, I'm going to have my soul sucked out of here by your genetic material. Now, you go get the Thai food.
Well, I'll tell
and
you,
then you're going to go out and get the Thai food.
Maybe. I'm not going. I'll tell you one thing. I will not have a pussy for a kid. I get to one of these kids. I don't like peas. I only eat melted cheese. I don't like regular cheese.
I cannot wait until this moment arrives
now,
when this man has children.
I work with a hand because I work with writers, and they're half of them are Jewish and all of them are neurotic. And I see these guys, and
they won't drive cars.
They can pick their sandwich and open them up and scrape stuff off it and stuff every day. And I'm looking at these guys; they're 30 years old, you know, and they're pulling the lettuce off of the turkey sandwich. And I think, oh, if you were my kid, I swear to Christ, I'd put a bullet in your head while you're asleep. I'd make you change your name and get a nose job, so no one knew who you were. And I can't stand those little fussy. My kid is luck.
We'll see. Yeah.
I decided this food is good. Here it is. You don't want to eat it? Don't eat it.
We'll see. Good time.
Drew, why can't you do that to a fussy eating kid? Don't eat it if you don't want to eat it.
Yeah, you can. You can.
Oh, my God. Is that. Oh.
But it's work because they don't stop there. They keep coming. They keep coming. They keep coming. And they find ways to get under your skin.
And my kid's going to be scared of me, though. And that's the way I like it. That'll be fine. Ben?
Hey, what's going on?
We have no women.
22?
No women. Guys.
Yeah, this is Ben, 22.
What's happening, Ben?
Not much. I am, I'm considered an asshole here at Kansas State.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally, I'm starting to like a girl, and I just want to know how to get rid of that image.
Everybody at Kansas State knows you're an a-hole?
Oh, you are an asshole.
The girls that
asshole.
I associate with
yeah.
know me as an asshole. I just don't know.
What does that mean?
Well, just like, I guess in the past, I've kind of not treated the women that.
Yeah.
Not
but
too
now
well.
You've turned over a new leaf. Now you're going to be
yeah,
different.
Yeah, and it's like, well, this is the first girl that I've really known that I've really liked.
Yeah.
I don't know how to get rid of that image.
All right. Here's how you get rid of all images. How do you get rid of Drew? I'll ask you a hypothetical. Yeah. How do you get rid of the image
of being a crazy person?
Shut up. Right. How do you get rid of the image of the guy who's constantly late?
Be on time.
That's right.
Yeah. Takes a little while.
That's right.
Not forever.
Can't do it just on a Monday and expect everything to be cured. But if you're the guy who's always late and all of a sudden you're early for a month.
Don't ever be late. That's it.
You don't get you won't be the late guy.
That's right.
And if you're going to tell me that you've never been late for the last 6 months and people still call you the late guy, I ain't going to believe it.
Yeah. People forget about stuff like that.
Immediately.
Yeah.
That's the good news. Yeah. People are sort of pliable that way.
Yeah, forgiving.
If you're known as the a-hole guy, all you gotta be is known as the nice guy for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And you'll be fine. So you want to know how to undo it? And by the way, everybody's earned their reputation. You don't deserve to have it undone in a weekend. You can just be an a-hole for 2 years and now you get to be the nice guy?
Yeah.
That's not fair to the people who are actually nice.
That's right.
And it's not fair for the late guy to be the on-time guy for the people who've been on time.
That's right.
If he can do it in 2 days.
That's right.
Thank you, Drew. I have a strong sense of justice, as you well know.
And you need to pee. Right?
I got number two, actually.
Oh.
No, I'm going to whiz. I just had a little gas waiting. We'll take a break. Not Stan Gass. He loves hockey, but he loves punk rock hockey, but he hates gas.
There's like a neuron not firing properly in his head.
Well, I think that's something we've known about for a while.
Oh, my God, get out of here. This stinks.
Right, we'll be back. the Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Doc Drew over there. Yeah. No. Cannot have. I was standing around my den last night for some reason thinking about no, cannot have. All righty. Somebody called, wanted to talk about The Family Guy, which is one of my favorite shows, and then he fell off the line. But I want to say this, that Seth MacFarlane, who's been on this show, who's the creator of The Family Guy, and does quite a few voices on The Family Guy, came out with us to do some...
Crank Anchors
last weekend, and was phenomenal.
Really?
Phenomenal, the voices this guy does. I'm rarely envious of other people's talent, but I sat there. Green is a Kentucky pasture.
Did he do Family Guy voices? Or were they
doing? I think to myself, my God, wouldn't it be marvelous if I turned out to be a homosexual?
Was it like that, or was it?
He did like the
versions of that.
He did the Rhode Island guy, but he did like this 50 salesman guy, and he did a whole bunch of different voices, and he was just
fun,
just spectacular. Yeah. Then Andy Dick came over and to do voices, and he was loaded.
No,
I think so. Yeah.
With alcohol or?
I don't know.
Because what made you say that? Because he was so fragmented, or?
Yeah. We'll talk off the air, Drew, but there's trouble brewing.
Jesus Christ in heaven! Where has this been? Send me an ounce of this stuff!
Yeah, I think he got more than an ounce. He got a kilo or two. I don't know what's going on with Andy Dick, but I think something's going on with Andy Dick.
Was he able to do this show?
Not really. Uh-uh. I think there's some little game on kind of thing going on there. He was sober for a while, right?
Quite a while. No relapse is part of the disease. So.
Yeah. Now, I don't know for sure. He said he wasn't feeling well. Yeah. But I think something's going on.
I have to leave at this point.
We should get him in here and talk to him.
Let's do it.
See what's up with him.
Yeah.
Tim?
Yes?
You're 36?
36.
What's up?
Well, I'm just trying to put some closure to this girl that's been on my mind for a few years.
A few years?
Yeah, for a few years, you could say that.
High school.
I lived with her for five. Let's give you the real short story there. I lived with her for 5 years. I broke off with her.
Why?
Just arguing back and forth. Uh-huh. We lived in a small apartment in New York City, and we're just constantly arguing. And her mother lived in Florida. She's an actress. And I drove her back to Florida. We still kept some strings attached. So I was going to school in Florida. I left my job here, and I went to Florida for 11 months. Took a leave of absence. And
I
tried to work it out.
I can't follow this.
I was just thinking about Andy Dick, actually.
There's a bunch of information that didn't make sense.
He left his job in New York. He went to Florida.
Did it to go to school?
Well, to go to school and live with her and try it one more time.
Well,
who's the actress? She was the actress or the mother was the actress?
No, she was the actress.
What was she doing down there in Florida?
She's not doing too good.
Well, they had a show down there or something?
She's a Spanish actress. She's on Spanish soap operas.
Sweet.
Anyway,
do they film in Florida? Or what?
Yeah,
they do?
Oh, yeah. They always do some
Florida. What
did we say? Yeah, okay.
Okay, so I came back here, and she resumed her life. She moved to L.A.
Andy Dick in the Hizzy.
And she moved back to L.A., and I moved back here. And it's been almost 4 years, and every day I think about her. And we've kept in contact, and she started going out with somebody else, so did I.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Florida last March, and I tried to get her back because... I just think about her all the time. I mean, I've been out with her.
And what happened when you tried to get her back?
Nothing. She just gave me not a real firm no, which I wish that she would have.
No is no.
Yeah, she's not with you. That's all the no you need to know. I wish we could hear the story from her standpoint, what actually went down here.
I got drunk and drove my El Camino into her living room.
Yeah.
But listen, Tim, listen. I know she didn't give you a firm no, and I know you do wish for your own peace of mind that she looked you in the eye and said, Tim, we can never be ever again. And
you know what?
I'll thank you to leave. And, but people never do that. They say things like, no, I still love you. I just don't love you, love you.
Yeah, and then I'll always love you. You're always the one.
You say things like, well, do you ever think there's a situation or scenario where you could see us getting back together? And they go, well, I don't know what the future, I don't have a crystal ball, but I can tell you that right now it's a bad time. Yeah. And that then the guy walks away with, well, she said she loved me.
Yeah.
And she said down the road,
yeah,
she could see us getting back together.
Right.
No. Look, down the road doesn't mean ass for anybody. If anybody wants you, they want you now. Yeah. Just like you would want her now.
Right.
Or you do want her now. Right. Think about what your mindset would be if you look someone in the eye who was pouring their heart out to you and you said, maybe down the road. No, you're being nice.
Yeah.
Tim, she did tell you. She told you by the fact that you went all the way to Florida to get her back and came home with a handful of your own dork. That's right. That's right. A cheek full of tears and a handful of dork. You know what I'm saying?
Such poetry. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
This should be on a Hallmark card. Really. Really.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. So, sorry, Tim. Stop thinking about her and move on.
I wish we could get more into what really went on with that relationship. I'm sure it was very chaotic.
She's got some she's stuff. She's on a Mexican soap, so she's got to be first. But she's got to be very dramatic.
This is like stalking.
And wear tons of mascara.
This is sort of stalking light. You know what I mean? It's kind of quasi-stalking quality. It's obsessed all the time about her. Needs
you
to
ever
stop.
See those Mexican
not
subs?
Good. No, I don't see them.
Mexican chicks wear enough eyeliner already. Now you
they're
take
born
the,
with it?
They're born with a propensity toward heavy eyeliner use. Mm. And then you take one, you put her on a soap, and all of a sudden you got Madam from Wailing. What was that gay ventriloquist? Wailing and Madam.
Oh my God.
Remember that?
No.
You don't remember that?
I mean, vaguely.
Yes,
vaguely.
You do. I mean, you got crazy novelty Cruella de Vil type eyeliner going. Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy hair. Crazy outfits. Jackie?
Hi.
You're 19?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you guys? I love you guys.
We're great.
Good. Yeah, my question.
Yeah.
Okay, like, after, like, having sex with my boyfriend, like, after I peak her, like, orgasm, like, I don't know, like, I just want to, like, push him away, like, ew, like, I just want him to leave, like, exactly that, like, ew.
You feel weird after you have the orgasm.
So it's not like...
It's almost like something a guy would do, I know, but...
But it's not just that sort of it's too intense and you want him off you. It's that you're disgusted and you want him to leave.
Well, not like disgusted or intense. It's kind of more just like after I'm done, I'm just hey, leave me alone. Like I don't know.
Not a great sign. Not a great sign there, Jackie. But all right, you're 19.
Is that wrong?
No, like, it's not wrong.
Yeah, he wants to go like more, and I'm like, okay, well.
No, it's not wrong, and it's kind of a common thing, but it you know. I don't know, 19. You
what?
Know,
because it's not common among my friends, though. So
it's not that common, but it does happen.
You in love with this guy?
No.
What?
No, she can't do that.
Not in love.
Why not? Why can't I be?
Well, just because you're not. Yeah, I'm not sure you're ready for that yet, right?
Oh. Okay.
Am I right?
Maybe not in love, but like
right.
At love.
No, you're trying, but you're not there. And really, this kind of thing, when I've seen it in the past, people have some intimacy stuff, some problems with intimacy, and sex just becomes a drug. It becomes something that they're kind of an acting out rather than part of a relationship.
Yeah. Let's take care of Lee. He's been a hole for a long time. Lee?
Yeah?
Lee, you're 14?
Yeah.
Drew is always right about the people who's been on hold for a long time. I don't know how Drew knows just by reading the call what the person's temperament is. But anyway, Lee, your question is, you got a 17-year-old ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
Threatening to beat up your new girlfriend.
Yeah.
Why?
I guess she just doesn't like her or something.
Drew, you're always right about that. Yeah. Hold on a second.
Trust me, huh?
Well, I say to Drew, I'll say to Drew, like, some guy's been on hold for 98 minutes, and I'll go, Drew, why haven't you taken this poor soul's call? And they go, like, it's a bad call. And I'll go, but why? How do you know? I'm looking at boyfriend, girlfriend, itchy, lesions. It's the same crap we always get. And he's like, nah, this one will be bad. And then you punch the person up, and it's that 14-year-old dude who's like, yeah. And you go, how come this or that? And they go, huh? And you go, how long have you? And they go,
yeah, but good times, huh?
Yeah, all right. Lee?
Yeah.
All right, let's kick it into high gear for a second. Make Drew wrong for once, all right?
All right.
All right. So you got the crazy ex. You guys broke up how long ago?
Year and a half.
17, he's 14. It's already kind of weird. Look.
And you guys are all going to the same high school?
No. We met through a... We were like hanging out at this one.
Yeah, but why does your ex girlfriend have access to your new girlfriend?
Right. Why is she around you?
Why is she around?
She like lives in the same neighborhood.
All right. Well, she's not to be around anymore. Stay away from her. If she comes around, just tell her. You know, you're gonna have to bring some authority to bear. That's all.
Yeah, he's just bragging about chicks fighting over him. Really. All right. We'll be back. Well, there's the show, Drew.
No.
Yeah.
Can't be.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
We got some talking to do now.
Yes, we do.
Call me on my cell phone.
I will.
We got to finish up. Got interrupted by the show many times tonight.
That's been tough.
All right, we'll take a little extendo break, and until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. No is no.
Yeah, she's not with you. That's all the no you need to know.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.